Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. As I started out in our introduction tonight, Advent is a season in which we are wanting to be ready for the Lord's coming. And I do want us to think about there is a difference between being ready, and we see this in my household, and being really, really ready. To maybe put that in a more in a way that we can remember it tonight, you may remember the earthquake and tsunami that took place 5 years ago in Japan, the Fukushima quake. We know this in Oregon because there are still items that lap onto our shore every day that remind us of a great catastrophe. Things like car parts, things like fishing boats, all sorts of objects come onto our shore from an event that happened 5 years ago. And seeing all that debris show up on our shore can cause us to jump to the conclusion that the people weren't ready for that tsunami that hit Fukushima. But that would be a jumping to a conclusion that really wouldn't be true. See, the people were actually ready, and studies have been done. Studies have been done to show that there was lots of preparation that was put in. There were safety zones that were shown to have the elevation that would avoid loud, high rising waves that would come onto the shore. There was an announcement that was made on Japan that announced that a tsunami was coming, and there was an hour of preparation time. The people were ready. But you see, they really, really weren't ready. Because we all know that when that tsunami came onto the shore in Japan, it wiped out and devastated many, many people. And many people would still say today, I wish I would have been really, really ready for what was coming. Christmas is coming, 25 days away. But even more, bigger than that, or really what the Bible's getting at here, is our Lord Jesus is coming, His second coming. He's coming. And we are preparing. We're each in our own way with our families. We all have our own traditions of getting ready. Just thinking about it today, our Christmas cards came in the mail. They're ready. They're going to get sent off. You'll have nice pictures from the Luckies real soon. We get our presents all wrapped. The sales just started a week ago. We're getting ready. We are baking our favorite recipes. We're doing a whole bunch of things. But you see, the season of Advent is not just getting us ready. The reason why the Christian church has Advent is so that we are really, really ready for Jesus coming. Because He's not just a cute little baby in a crib that sits there and coos and we're nostalgic about. No, He's the Lord of Lords. And Isaiah says it with these strong words. Jesus is Wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And when He comes, His coming will be all-encompassing, and we need to be at a level ready for when He comes. We don't want to be caught unawares. So Advent is kind of like a warning for where we need to stand in preparation for when Jesus comes. And we don't want to be at that level where we're caught unprepared. We want to be high enough, ready for Jesus coming. Well, one way that we can be prepared, we're going to talk about it in the Wednesdays to come. One way that we can be prepared is to do certain activities and tools that Isaiah teaches. Isaiah is if there's any gospel in the Old Testament, it's the book of Isaiah, the gospel of Isaiah. And Isaiah gives tools to make sure that we can be ready. And these were the tools that he gave God's ancient people 8 centuries before Jesus. These were the tools that he wanted them to prep and be ready for what was coming ahead. Tonight we're talking about the first tool, prayer. I'm going to highlight it here with these words, honest prayer. Not pious prayer or just prayer to do it, but honest prayer. Did you hear the words of Isaiah 64, verse 1? These are powerful words. Oh, that you would rend apart the heavens. That verb in the Hebrew is a very aggressive ripping apart. Oh, Lord, that you would rip apart the heavens and come down and make yourself known to your adversaries. You know, this is a prayer that I'm angry. God, rip apart the heavens and come down and make yourself known. This is an angry prayer. It's an honest prayer because God's people, the Israelites, were sitting in Babylon and they had a sour taste in their mouth. Why? Because their town, Jerusalem, had been put to rubble and they're waiting and waiting and waiting. And every day that they wait, they see that their enemies, the Babylonians, they're prospering, they're doing really well, and they're not doing so well. Grrr! Lord, why don't you rip up the heavens, come on down, and painfully strike our enemies? Can you relate? Have you ever said something like this? Oh God, my sister that did me wrong, that you would come down and strike her down. Or, oh God, that slimy next-door neighbor who really likes to do things under the table, oh, that you would come and get vengeance against him. One thing that's beautiful about the Bible, and we highlight it here at Peace often, is how real and raw the emotions are. Isaiah 64 doesn't get any more real. How good it is for us to be honest with our prayers. That's one thing that we can do while we wait, is be honest and let our God know our honest emotions. Grr, Lord, my adversaries, that you would bring justice. But there's another part of this prayer passage here in Isaiah 64 that we have to take seriously, and that is this: be careful what you pray for. Because the reality of it is when we want God to bring justice or judgment on those people, it's likely that God's going to bring that same justice and judgment on us. Any good parent knows how this works. Two children, not going to say names, they're not here tonight. But if one of them comes up and says, Dad, Papa, she did this to me, I would never just blindly go in and just totally believe everything that's said and get vengeance for the one daughter. No, see, a good parent goes in and does an investigation. And a good parent usually finds out that both sides, probably there's some guilt to go around in all directions. You know how this works. The beautiful part of this prayer is Isaiah 64 is the ending. Because the Israelites realize that they're a part of the problem. And they say these words: O Lord, we are like one who is unclean. Even our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. Luther would quote that on his deathbed. Our righteous deeds are filthy rags, they say. We are like the grass that fades. It's a beautiful prayer, and it's one that we can take in. Not only should we pray that God will fix our enemies, but we also, as we wait, we need to pray prayers that admit our failings and the ways that we have contributed to the bad outcomes and the problems that have happened around us. So there you have it, the two things: pray honestly, grr, but also confessing our part in the mess. Isaiah asked his people to do just that, and the reality of it was that there was one day when God came and brought those people 8 centuries before Jesus, brought them back to that place that they always wanted to get to. Their waiting was over, they got back to Jerusalem, and they were in a safe place. Well, the same is true for us. We're waiting, and we're on that safe plane, up there with honest prayers, but also admitting our shortcomings. And Jesus is going to come and bring us to where we need to be. And we'll be safe, and we'll not just be ready, we'll be really, really ready. Let's pray about that tonight. Lord Jesus, you promise never to leave us or forsake us. Grant that in the midst of impatience, we might find comfort in you and a renewed focus of loving service to our neighbor. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us rise as we continue with prayer, specifically the Annunciation, found on page 8 in our worship folder.